Good morning, everybody. This is Pastor Bob. I want to welcome you today to CDL Drivers Church of Delivery, and thank you for partaking and participating this morning in our church service. We had a great service last Sunday with Dr. Tim Leeper. For those that didn't get a chance to hear him, you can always call the number on the website, which it's actually the same number that you call in now, except for the last two digits are 99, and you can listen to the service from last week. If you haven't yet, please do. I'm pretty sure that you will enjoy the service. This is a wonderful day. Everybody keep Texas in prayers with the major storm that's there. We have family there and friends there, so keep them in your prayers that they'll be safe under God's protection. So much has gone on, and I'm just excited. I was blessed this weekend, having to sit here in Kansas because I can't deliver until Monday. But my wife surprised me. Her and my daughter came down, and we're getting to spend some time down here in Kansas City and look around and enjoy our company with each other. So I'm blessed today. I'm truly blessed. Let us pray. Father, I thank you for this day. I thank you for your glory, for your mercy, and for your grace. But most of all, for the hope that you have given us through your Son, that we have the promise of eternal life, Father. I thank you for that. I give you the praise and the glory this morning for all that you do in our lives. Father, I plead the blood of Jesus over all of our congregation, whether they drive or they do not drive, Father, but I plead the blood over them, that nothing spiritual, nothing physical, nothing mental, and no principalities can come against them because they're your children and they're covered in the blood of Jesus. And we just give you the praise and the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Father, I ask you also, I let your anointing flow through me this morning as I bring forth your word. Let it not fall on deaf ears, but those that are willing to surrender their will to be in your perfect will, and we just give you the praise and the glory. In Jesus' name, amen. You all know how to do your tithes and offerings, so I'm not going to go there. Remember, it's not about the money. It's about the obedience of listening to God's word and doing what God says. I was really excited last week with Tim's sermon because it's been tying into what I've been preaching on, the possibilities and covenants that God has made with us through possibilities and because of possibilities. He touched on a scripture last week that I really had been reading, it's going to be my text for this morning, and it's out of Deuteronomy chapter 8, starting at verse 18. And you shall remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant, which he swore to your fathers, and it is this day. Father, he gives us this promise. He made it. He gives us the talents. He gives us the capabilities, the smarts, the brain power to do the things that we do. Now, we have to realize that this is a covenant, so there is expectations that he expects us to do so that he can bless us, so that he can give us the wealth that we desire and to give us the things that we desire. But it's not always about things. It's not always about money. It's about serving God. It's about fulfilling the covenant that we have given, that has been given to us. And it's sometimes so simple, but yet so difficult to understand what he's talking about. And let's look at this scripture once again. And I touched a little bit on it Sunday after Tim preached. It's not to forget his love, give you the power to get wealth for a reason, for a specific reason. Not only to take care of our families, not only to take care of our children, but to establish his kingdom for its purpose. In other words, he gives us wealth to use to bless his kingdom, to establish it, to help build it, to help edify it, to help bring glory to his kingdom. That's what this covenant is about. And that's what our life should be about. Everything that we do, everything that revolves around us should bring glory to God. If it's not bringing glory to God, we have a problem. We're not fulfilling the scripture. We're not doing what God expects us to do as children of God. With children of God, we're supposed to serve God with all of our heart, all of our strength, and all of our might. That's what the Word declares. That's what Jesus said was the greatest commandment there ever was. And we don't take that serious, but we need to take it serious. And it says this in Deuteronomy, back on chapter 6. It says, because the Lord loves you, and because he would keep the oath which he had swore to your fathers, the Lord has brought you out of with a mighty hand and redeemed you from the house of bondage, from the hand of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. See, they had a covenant too. And he removed them out of that bondage. And just as he does with us when we become saved, when we give our hearts to Christ, we're being taken out of that bondage. We're being taken out of that miry clay. And we're being placed on top and above and beyond because his love is there for us. Therefore, know that the Lord your God, he is God, the faithful God who keeps covenant and mercy for 1,000 generations with those who love him and keep his commandments. We have to realize that just we're not living in the law, we're living in grace. But that doesn't mean we don't keep his commandments. His word is his commandments. His word tells us how we're supposed to live. His word tells us how we're supposed to act. His word tells us everything that we need to know for daily, successful Christian living. It's that simple. Basic instruction before leaving earth. That's what it's about, folks. That's what it's about. In Proverbs, it says this, chapter 10, verse 22, the blessings of the Lord makes one rich, and he adds no sorrow with it. See, I want you to understand that. He gives us those blessings when we follow his commandments, when we are in his covenant, when we do the conditions of that covenant. Blessing should be easy, not difficult. Sometimes we make them difficult. Sometimes we make them difficult. And it's not a struggle as well, because the joy of the Lord is our strength. So if we are fulfilling God's word and we're doing what God has expected us to do, it doesn't become a burden. It doesn't become tough to do. It becomes easy. Didn't Jesus say his yoke was easy, his burdens, to cast his burdens upon him? That's what he's talking about. We have problems, we cast them onto Jesus, and then we ask him to help us get through it. We turn them over to him. Don't pull them back. Don't try to take them back. Give them to him. They're no longer yours. They're no longer in your control. That's where we fail sometimes. I truly believe that. It's like putting it in the palm of your hand and reaching out and handing it to God and waiting for God to take it. Well, he doesn't take it, so you pull it back and decide to do it yourself. That's because what you did is you reached out to him, but you didn't turn it over to him. You didn't cast those burdens on him as his word declares. When you turn it over, it's no longer in your hand. It's no longer your control. It's now in his control, and it's in his time, not our time. And see, that's another area that we get impatient with is timing. God's time is the perfect time. You all know that little joke I've talked about, the little boy with $1 million and how long is 1,000 years in heaven? It's a second, according to God. And the little boy says, well, can I have a penny, Lord? And God tells him, just a second. So in other words, you wait 1,000 years. Or, you know, somewhere in that area. But that's what God does. It's his timing, not ours. And we don't know that time, just like we don't know the time when he's coming back. But we have to have patience waiting on the Lord. When we wait on him with patience, we do get blessed. Because God knows everything. Everything. There's something else, too, that we sometimes don't take for granted, that we don't do during this. In Genesis, it says this in chapter 26. Then Isaac sowed in the land and reaped in the same year a hundredfold, and the Lord blessed him. We all know the philosophy of sowing and reaping, but we don't understand sometimes what that is. It's not just your money. It's not just your love for him, but it's everything about you. It's your time. It's your daily devotion to him. Doesn't it say pray without ceasing? That's what this is talking about. When you sow, it doesn't matter what you're sowing. It doesn't matter if you're sowing good Christian word to a brother. It doesn't matter if you're sowing finances to build your finances. It doesn't matter if you're sowing time. But it's all the same. It's giving to God. And that's what he expects us to do. So that in return, he can bless us and give us that wealth that we need to have to bless the kingdom even more. You know, as a driver, I go down the street and I'm stopped at a truck stop. And yeah, there's a lot of scam artists out there. Trust me, there is. And if you're filled with the Spirit, you'll know which ones are real and which ones aren't. I would love to have that kind of money or to be able to do the things that, you know, that are on my heart. I would love to be able to walk in and see a driver that is really hurting and he's not doing well. I would like to be able to bless him, not just monetarily, but to help him get through that situation, to help him, teach him to go, to learn more. Yes, sometimes blessing them financially would be great to be able to do that, especially when they have family and kids and they're struggling. But that's blessing God's kingdom. That's what he's talking about. Bless his kingdom through the wealth he gives us. So that's the purpose that we're here, is to serve God, not to serve self, not to serve our brothers and sisters financially, but to serve God and his kingdom, whatever the case may be, not just financial. Now get that in your mind, okay? Now, I'm not going to be like the TV evangelist and preach about money. I'm not. It's purpose. I'm preaching about purpose. And God's purpose is that he will give us the wealth. And the wealth can be in time, it can be in materials, it can be in land, and yes, it can be in finances. But that's what he's talking about, the blessings that he can bestow upon us if we follow the word of God, just as it was then. So keep that in mind when you're going through the day, and if you see someone, wouldn't you like to be able to bless that person because you know that they're hurting? You know that they're in financial stress, or you know that they're living homelessly, that it would be nice to be able to do something to help them. Well, that's what God is talking about in that scripture. He will give us the wealth to bless his kingdom. We've got to stop looking at the blessings for us, because he's blessing us so that we can bless others. We got to stop looking at money as the love of money, because we know that's the root of all evil. We got to stop looking at material things for personal reasons. Yes, God said whatever we ask in our prayers and believe by faith that we shall receive. But as a Christian, those desires change the minute you become a Christian. Most people don't think of the material thing. Just like Solomon did when he asked God for wisdom. He could have asked for wealth. He could have asked for fame because he was a king. But instead, he asked for wisdom that he would be able to lead God's people righteously and honestly and lovingly. And so what did God do? He said, because you have not asked for wealth and fame, because you have asked for wisdom, I will give them all to you. See, he was not looking for it. He was not looking for the wealth. He was not looking for the material things. He was not looking for fame. He was looking to be able to please God and to bless God's kingdom by ruling his people with compassion, with wisdom, with understanding. And see, that's where we lack sometimes. We're not looking at God's kingdom. We're looking at around us instead. Yes, we're all winners in a sense that when we follow the word of God and we seek the kingdom of God first and not this world, because we are not members of this world. We are just passing through. Remember that. In Psalm 126, verse 5, those who sow in tears shall reap in joys. Sometimes it's difficult to sow. Sometimes it's hard to give to God. Sometimes it's hard to dedicate that time to God. But you'll reap with joy. You'll reap with joy. Just like we're to count the tribulations and the trials and tribulations, we're to count them all joy. Because it's a learning process, and it shows God that we're faithful. It shows God that we're willing to do whatever it takes to please him. In Galatians, it talks about sowing and reaping. Chapter 6, starting in verse 7. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked, for whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. So if you don't sow love, you're not going to reap love. If you don't sow financials, you're not going to reap financial. If you don't sow time, you're not going to receive time. If you don't sow compassion, you're not going to reap for compassion. If you don't sow love, you're not going to reap love. That's what they're talking. Whatever you sow, is so shall you reap. That's what he's talking about. For he who sows in the flesh will of the flesh reap corruption. But he who sows of the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. And let us grow weary while we're doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. See, most of us lose heart. We lose patience. We don't have the patience to wait on God. But you know that waiting on God is one of his conditions to the covenant. It's in his time, not ours. Get that in your minds, folks. We have to get it in our minds and in our attitudes. It's not our time, it's God's time. And let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all, especially to those who are in the household of faith, to the brothers and sisters that have faith in God. That's what he's talking about. The more faith we have in him, the more opportunity we have to bless and be blessed. Are you getting this today? I hope you are. It's really important that we get this and get a handle on it and understand what God is talking about, because I want to see everybody blessed. I want to see everybody blessed financially. I want to see everybody blessed in the kingdom of God, doing the things that they love to do for God, that it brings glory to God, not to us, but to God, because that's the key. It's not about us. It's not about us. In Romans, it says this, be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love and honor, giving preference to one another, not lagging in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Get that. Serving the Lord. Rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continually steadfast in prayer, distributing to the needs of the saints, given to hospitality. She's talking about giving to others, giving your time. That's blessing the kingdom of God when we help our brothers and sisters, and even sometimes a stranger that's in need, just like the Good Samaritan did. They were mortal enemies in a sense, but yet he gave out of the desires of his heart because of what God had laid on his heart to help that man, to help that brother, even though they don't get along. The Samaritans didn't get along with them. But that's the key. We sacrifice just as Jesus sacrificed for us. Then we will get blessed. And it's not just the physical, the financial blessings that we're looking for. It's the love of God that I want to be blessed with, so that I can love others as Christ loved us and as he loves us. Luke says this, and it says it in chapter 6, and it says in verse 38, give, and it will be given to you, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, will be put into your bosom, for with the same measure that you use it will be measured back to you. See, he's talking about the more we give and the more we use for God's kingdom, the more is going to come back to you so you can continue to do that. But in the meantime, God blesses you personally for your family so that you may be taken care of as well. But it's not about us. It's about the kingdom of God. And the more we give into the kingdom of God, the more God gives us. It's a circle. It is a true circle. It's a circle. It's a true circle. I'm hoping you're getting this today. In Ecclesiastes, it says this. One of my wife's favorite scriptures and mine as well. Whatever your hand finds to do, do it with all your might. When we talk about might, that means your heart. That means your soul, your whole existence. Do it with all of it, just like Solomon did. In his prayer, the only thing he wanted was wisdom to rule his people, to take care of God's people. That was his desire of his heart, was to be a good leader, was to be a good king. And because of his unselfishness, God blessed him not only with that, but with the wealth and fame and fortune. He had it all because he didn't ask for it. And sometimes we ask for things that we shouldn't ask for, because God already knows what we need. God already knows the desires of our heart. But we're to seek him first. Always seek him first. And it says it in the Word of God. We know that. It says this in Matthew. Do not lay up for yourself treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroy, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will also be. Because he tells us not to worry about today. He tells us not to worry about the things, because we are more important, we're more valuable than a sparrow, are we not? And he says this, therefore, do not worry what we shall eat or what we shall drink or what we shall wear, for all these things the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. He already knows what we need. He knows we need finances to take care of our family. He knows that sometimes we need a new car or a better car. He knows that we desire to have a motorcycle sometimes. You know, and it's not saying that we can't have those material things, but there's a time and a place for everything. And it says this, and this is a key verse. Now get this in your heart. It's verse 33. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all things shall be added to you. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things, sufficient for the day and its own trouble. But all things will be added to you when you seek the kingdom of God first. That's what I'm talking about. That's what Solomon was talking about. That's what he was talking about when he asked God for the wisdom. He wasn't talking about riches and wealth and fame and fortune and land and conquering all of his enemies. He was talking about wisdom. And sometimes maybe that's what we need to pray for, is wisdom. Doesn't God always say, Hasn't it said in the Word, if you love me, keep my commandments? That's what this is all about. It's about the covenant that God has made with us. He's given us promises if we'll do what he says. And if we'll keep his commandments and love him, he will bless us abundantly. I hope you all got something out of this message this morning. It's, God laid it on my heart last week and been studying on it all week. So God bless you all. Father, I thank you for your message. I thank you for the promises that you give us and the covenants that you have laid out in your word, that if we follow your covenants, your conditions of that covenant, we know beyond a shadow of a doubt, Father, that you'll bless us abundantly because your word declares it. Help us to see that. Help us to learn it, Father. Help us to apply it daily to our lives that we may get it in our hearts and birth it, Father. Because as David's son asked for the wisdom, he got the wisdom from you, Father. But because of his faithfulness, you blessed him abundantly. Not only financially, but every way possible, he was blessed. Father, I ask you to do the same for us, that as we seek your will and as we seek your words and as we try to fulfill the commandments that you have given us for daily life, Father, help us to be blessed. Help us to understand your word more and more, Father, and help us to seek your kingdom as number one in our lives, Father, because you are number one. The word declares it, that we're to love you with all of our heart, all of our might, all of our soul, and you should be the first thing and the last thing we think about every day, Father. So I give you the praise and the glory, Father, for your message. And as we go our separate ways, Father, I plead the blood of Jesus over every one of them and their families, that nothing spiritual, nothing physical, nothing mental, and no principalities can come against them. Because they are children of yours, Father, and we've been inherited and adopted into your kingdom, and we just give you the praise and the glory. In Jesus' precious name, and everybody said, amen. Have a blessed day, everybody. I'm here if anybody needs to talk. God bless you, and have a wonderful, wonderful day. God bless. Bye-bye.